Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placement. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.cc.
Well, this is Jürgen Reis, already recording together with Stefan, episode 18 of Aviation Quest CC. Stefan, welcome to the show as always.
Hello, Jürgen. How are you? All good?
Yeah, we just had in a private conversation what's better to do on a foggy afternoon here in Dornbirn. I mean, in your place, hopefully nicer weather, but here it's winter and fog and cold. And to talk with you about flight simming, oh, what a job this is.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect thing to do. Just sit, you know, and talk about the good old days.
Speaking about flight sim, we are still an audiocast, but still certainly with an ongoing Aviation Quest podcast YouTube channel. And I think also episode 18 is there with a great flight sim video created by you, Stefan.
Yes, it is. So today we are flying the beautiful MD-11 again, this time operated by FedEx.
Wow.
And we are flying from London, Stansted to Charles de Gaulle. This flight used to be done by the MD-11, unfortunately not anymore. Today it's all done by 767 or 777, but we've gone back in time a few years to fly her again.
And I just say, everybody who is interested in a new the MD-11, the simulated one, just check out Stefan's FS Clips channel. It is by which company?
The TFDI MD-11 is what I use for Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, yeah.
TFDI, okay. But BMDG, I just opened another brand here, is also part of today's podcast, but step by step. Okay, in episode 17, we went back to the very, very early beginnings. And now, yeah, I was last time, so to say, flipping or through the pages of what is 5.1 Flight Simulator Handbook. And today, speaking of golden years, there's a golden colored and Concord covered handbook in my hand now with Flight Simulator 2000, the German one certainly, Pilotenhandbook, over 240 pages. Yeah, my library here. No, I will not give this away. This is treasures. I like this stuff. Yeah, so let's move on. I mean, for me, this time was certainly also a time where I used the flight simulator to practice my real-world skills in the winter. I mean, it was certainly not a replacement for the real-world flying, but for the for all the flows and what you do in the cockpit and also the mental side of the flying, it was great to keep at least mentally fit. I think, Stefan, something you can also say this is possible with flight sims.
Yes, I would agree. Once flight simulators reached a certain level of realism and system depth, I think they were really good at, challenging you a little bit mentally. And you had to really focus. You had to learn a lot of things. You had to learn how to multitask. I remember back in FS 2000 were the first attempts to implement ATC, and there were the first attempts to add AI traffic, so other aircraft. So all of a sudden, you were no longer alone, and you had to follow instructions. And that, of course, was a big step up from the previous flight simulators. So, yeah, I agree with your assessment. It's a good way to, you know, improve your mental abilities and everything. Was just out of interest, because I know you used, you still use Flight Simulator for coaching. Was that the time when you started, or was that later?
Yeah, I found this, I came to this idea by, so to say, being my own my own guinea pig here in the flight sim. No, I somehow, I think every flight simmer maybe can feel with me that but a smooth touchdown after a rough approach or even in IMC is golden for the self-confidence. You feel like a king afterwards. Yes, I did it, you know. And this is certainly, it's just mental training pure. And later on, I worked on this a little bit. I came up with some ideas how to imply this into coachings. And I also wrote about it in books. And there were coaches, certainly not all of them, but there were coaches, there still are, which are interested in aviation. And I just offered them the possibility to introduce them into flight simming, either at home or some of them even visited me. And I remember some funny afternoons when we were also in weather like this and approaching, don't know, I think one flight was from Munich to Memmingen. It was quite funny. And you know, when they really see, wow, I can do this, I can fly an airplane, and I set them up, I think maybe a little bit like you in this flight sim company you worked in the UK. I think maybe also you had there some experiences that the people were not only happy afterwards, but really proud, you know, really, yeah, after winning a competition. And I mean, what else is mental training that works?
Yeah, exactly. I think the nice thing is if you get yourself a flight simulator, you sit down, you learn, you study, and then one day you fly your first ILS and it works out and you land the aircraft, there's a real sense of achievement, and it's a real positive experience. And I think that's such a nice thing with flight simulation. I mean, even today, if I fly a really difficult approach in flight simulator that I just would never do in the real world, I don't know, somewhere in Mongolia or, you know, Kathmandu or something like this, and I manage to fly it all exactly like in the chart and we land and it's all nice, it still gives me a sense of achievement. And I think that's a very positive and very valuable feeling for you as a person, that you can do something, that you can achieve something that is not easy. And I think for that alone, flight simming is can be very valuable, I think.
I just created, I'm in a creative phase in the moment here. I just created a slogan, landing a queen of the skies and feel like a king.
Exactly. That's it. That's what I'm, you just put it in one sentence, what I tried to say in 10 minutes.
Yeah. No, let's flip a few years forward. For me, really, this became more and more really, I think you brought up the word, what was this mental tool, mental sandbox or something in the previous episode.
Yeah, I said it was like a big sandbox, because you can fly anywhere in the world and you can fly any aircraft you want, and you can play around and be as silly or as serious as you want to be.
And certainly, flight sim is no replacement for real world flying. I mean, also you made a video about it. What was this? If a simmer can land a real plane, I have it somewhere here. I find it off. But it's it's completely another world. But still, you can stay mentally, so to say, in the pilot mode and get yourself into the pilot mode when you are on your PC. And there are some It helps. I just say it, mental wise, it helps. Even if you don't fly in the real world, but it's also on itself, it's a great hobby. But also when you fly in the real world, it's certainly better than not flying at all. It's a chair flying of a new style, I would say, or a new era.
Yeah, you know, when was it now? 3-4 years ago when the pandemic hit and we were all grounded. I didn't fly for over a year. Obviously, the company sent us into a simulator every few weeks, I think it was, or every 2 months, just to practice flying and landing so we don't lose our skills. But during that time, for me, flying at home, I used my virtual reality headset. It was just the best. Every time I went into those sim sessions, you know, my colleagues, you could tell they just hadn't flown for a long time. I went in and flew the simulator like I had just flown yesterday, because that's exactly what happened. I had just flown it yesterday at home in my virtual reality headset. So for that, it's amazing, because you don't lose any skills. You keep everything current. You do your flows, you do your checks, you do your procedures, you fly the aircraft. And for that, it was amazing for me through that period of time to keep myself, you know, in the loop. And of course, I didn't just fly my A320 from A to B. I did other things as well. But it was a nice escape. And it kept me in touch with, you know, what it is I want to do, which is flying planes.
Certainly. Can a simmer land a real aircraft thoughts by a real world pilot? Is, by the way, the FS Clips video I was just mentioning. And yeah, I also gave some thoughts of mine from my glider perspective, especially in episode 10. But also in episode 9. So, long story short, there is a huge difference between the real world and the flight sim. But still, flight sims gotten better and better. And maybe, yeah, with virtual reality, etc., we will really get closer and closer throughout the next years. I think also AI can hear some, may have some really good influence when it comes to realism and immersion at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've seen, they now launched a whole AI program that you link to Microsoft Flight Simulator, which simulates ATC and co-pilots and everything. And it's completely different to what we had before, you know. ATC will just listen and respond, and maybe they will close a runway and they will tell you the runway is closed, there was a bird strike, you have to go into hold. And this is all dynamic. And because it's AI, it sounds fairly natural. So, yeah, I think AI could play a very important and big role going forward to introduce even more realism that we already have.
Hey, speaking of closed runways, we were discussing, especially in a private conversation after the last podcast, if it's still worth the money to buy old charts. I was thinking twice about this, and Stefan, my clear answer is yes, because even if an ILS frequency or VOR is, so to say, has changed or is out of use, yeah, I mean, you're a pilot. You should come up with a backup plan. Maybe even a diversion airport, or you have to do something, you know. And the experience, I mean, I love the paper anyway. This, I have just a original Jeppesen Europe high altitude and route chart here in my hand. It's, don't know. So for anybody who thinks, wow, this could be great, just check out eBay.
Yeah, I think they still sell them quite a lot of them, actually. Yeah, I mean, for flight simming, I think it's great, especially exactly. If you only have one screen available, you can have the paper lying next to you. And
don't use them in real world, please.
No, in the real world, it's not so good, because I explained this to Jürgen after the last episode, how we have everything now on an iPad, and the iPad connects to the aircraft, and every day we switch on the iPad, it downloads the latest updates, and every single day there are new charts coming down with updates, new frequencies, NDBs that are being switched off. So the amount of changes with the charts is incredible. So having all this in paper format, it would mean that every single day you would have to throw out old papers and replace them by new ones. And to be fair, this is what they used to do, you know, if you go back 30 years, 25 years, that's what pilots had to do. But today, luckily, we don't do that anymore. But yeah, for flight simming, and you're right, if you arrive at an airport, I mean, I've had it happen to me a few times where we arrived at the airport and they told us, we're really sorry, the ILS is not working. And then you have to come up with something else, you know. So you can't just say to the passengers, sorry, we cannot land, they have no ILS. That's not good enough. As a pilot, you need to be able to land no matter what. So, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's a good training. And there is something about paper charts. I still have a small library of paper charts, and I think they're really nice.
They have something. They have something special. Yeah. Certainly, you can also open it on a second screen, but this is, paper is still paper. And this is real, you know, real, this lightweight flight. They used it, they were maybe in a cockpit. They got history. This is, you know, you have to have this.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I know, I totally agree. I get it. I mean, I still read books, you know, like proper books. I don't have a Kindle or anything like this. I love
Stefan Jürgen, what are books?
Yeah. So I fully agree that having a piece of paper in your hand and reading is still something very nice and connects you a lot more with what you're looking at than if it's on a screen. Anyway.
So before we lose all the listeners now younger than 30 years.
Yes.
Let's change the topic really quick. Yes, stay at the iPad and you have everything you need and just listen on. Just listen on.
Yes. Well, I thought, moving forward, because last time we were in the very early days, you know, we talked about floppy disks and stuff. You already mentioned PMDG, and I think for me, that was one company that transformed the hobby quite a bit. I think it was back in 2000, in FS 2004, when they launched the very first 737 product. And that to me was really groundbreaking. I bought it from a company called Just Flight. I still remember. I got the DVD, you know, in a nice case. It came with a booklet. And on their website, you could download the manual, which was, I can't remember, it was like 300 pages or something insane, a PDF file. And that was the first time I encountered something that I would describe as proper, proper study level, where you had to really sit down and be very careful with that aircraft because it would just run away from you. And then I think the second one was already the 747, right? The 400. And that to me, I just absolutely loved that aircraft. It was so much fun. We talked about this before anyway. I think it was one of your favorites as well, right?
I don't think there is another aircraft where I, so to say, collected more flight hours and adventures than in the BMDG 747-400X, Queen of the Sky. The box is still here. And I also have a Angle of Attack 747 training course on DVDs. Yeah, I mean, back then, certainly everything was on DVDs because to download gigabytes over the internet was still, at least for me, it was not accessible. It was, I don't know, it was not, yeah. And also certainly the ILS approach charts and the knowledge I had from the Amiga age, so to say, or the A320, disconnected, and this was really the new level. And also try to, yeah, I can say the word try, to program this wonder of an aircraft the right way. And yeah, visiting you in England was also for me one thing that brought me really, really much closer to real world or almost real world simulated airliner flying. It was for me this time when I finished my own motor glider gear. This was in 2006. So to say, this was the next level of flying. I wanted to have new adventures and so to say new competitions, mental competitions in the flight sim, and I found them especially in the BMDG 747-400X, so for Flight Sim X, but also in the Aerosoft Piper PA-31T Cayenne. This was also a fun little twin, which was especially, yeah, I flew especially here around the Alps in a lot of, yeah, in a lot of setups and scenarios, and it was also, wow, I think, yeah, certainly this was also study level. This was really inside.
I mean, there wasn't just PMDG. There were others as well that produced really remarkable stuff. I remember there was a company called Level D. They brought up
The 767.
Yes.
757 or 767.
767, yeah. That was an amazing aircraft back then.
I also flew it. This was, as I said, you had to have those plane back then. This was, it was.
Unfortunately, I never really got into helicopter flying or anything like that. I know there were some really, really good companies that made good helicopters. And I think even today, there's some really good helicopters for Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's not something I really delved into too much. I know these days there's some very highly realistic general aviation aircraft. You can buy, you know, Piper Warriors and Cherokees and Cessnas that really simulate every single thing from, you know, the mixture, the cowl flaps, every single thing. So it's not just airliners. I think the whole spectrum of aviation has moved in that direction, that people that really want to know what it's like to operate the real thing can actually experience all of this in the simulator, because it's all there and it's all simulated in great detail.
Yeah, and what I personally had to have sooner or later as well was, after reading numerous articles about it, explain. It was really also a little bit another approach to simming, but yeah, I love both. It was Microsoft FSX and X-Plane, especially the 9 and 10 versions, where I really, really got into the hobby.
Yeah, for me it was X-Plane 11. So if you remember when FSX launched, and then Microsoft unfortunately stepped away from flight simming and didn't do anything anymore, the only options really were P3D or X-Plane. And I never warmed to P3D all that much. So I decided to switch to X-Plane. I got X-Plane 11, which was brand new at that time. And I really enjoyed it, especially because it has this really cool community that produces a lot of free add-ons, way more than Microsoft Flight Simulator. Also, it's more accessible. Even I started producing freeware airports because it's very easy to learn to produce stuff for X-Plane. It's very open and accessible. And so in that respect, I really enjoyed it. The flight model was great. The graphics were not quite as good, but in a way it didn't matter because it was all about the experience, the flight model and everything. So I'm with you there. Yeah, X-Plane is still today. I mean, we are now on X-Plane 12, which I do not own, but it's still a very good platform. And let's not forget the other platforms as well. You mentioned Aerofly. There's DCS, of course, the military platform. You know, there's not just Microsoft Flight Simulator. There's a lot of really, really good stuff out there.
Yeah, I mean, with X-Plane 11, I think we already have the connection to the year 2026, because if you have a modest PC, so to say, hardware-wise, maybe not overpowered, to say it my PC here is really quite old, but X-Plane 11 as well as Aerofly FS, I fly today, or yeah, maybe in the evening if I have time today, and it's a pleasure. It's still, and as you said, X-Plane 12, I think it would be just an overkill for my PC. I must have to, I leave it this way. But as I said, X-Plane 11, I guess certainly it's still available. And maybe already up to 2026 tip for some flight simulators in space.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's still a very good platform. It's obviously not the newest, but it doesn't matter because it does everything, you know, you need, and everything is done to a very high standard in terms of simulation. I know people that still play FSX, you know, even today. So I've just watched a YouTube video of a guy who still plays FSX, and that's his sim, that's his platform. What he likes. And to be fair, if you look at all the add-ons available, you know, all the visual upgrades and all that stuff, it actually looks pretty good. Like even today, it's a good looking sim, and there's so much stuff out there, freeware as well. I think it's, you don't always have to go for the latest and greatest, because some of these older sims were actually really good products. So if you have an older PC and you're trying to get into the hobby, don't worry. You don't have to buy the latest and greatest software. There are some platforms out there which will run on older PCs really well, and you will see they will give you, you know, a really good experience as well. Like if you get FSX today, I'm sure you can get it somewhere for a really good price, and you get yourself a PMDG 747-400, you're going to have a lot of fun, even today.
And certainly also X-Plane 11, I just checked, it is certainly still available. And yeah, as you said, there is also Aerofly AFS. I think also there on your PC, with the older graphic card, I think you were super happy how smooth it ran.
Yes, it had an amazing performance. It's the only simulator I have where I can put on the virtual reality headset and don't have to change any settings. It just runs on full, you know, everything to the max, and it's super smooth, even with the virtual reality headset. No other simulator I have, you know, can do that. Virtual reality is usually a compromise where you have to tone down the settings a bit. Aerofly is not like that. So it's obviously a bit of a different sim compared to the others we discussed, but it's pretty good. There's some really good aircraft in there, especially add-on aircraft that you can purchase separately that I think are really, really good, especially given the low price point. If you compare this to add-ons in other platforms, I have to say Aerofly is, I would say it's a serious sim, you know?
It is. It is, absolutely. Otherwise, I wouldn't fly it. I don't fly games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's great that there's all this choice that people have. It'd be boring if there would be only one sim and that's what you have to have. Besides, if there would be only one, you can bet it would be $200. Because there's no competition. So it's good that there's all that stuff. I think, to be honest with you, when Microsoft stepped away from flight simming and FSX was all we had for, I think, 10 years and nothing seemed to happen, X-Plane was good, but somehow, I don't know why, it never gained attraction. P3D was quite big, but it was a bit of a gray area because it was actually, you know, supposed to be a professional software. I really felt during those years, everything stagnated a bit. And then I'm not sure why, I'm not quite sure what happened. All of a sudden, Laminar launches X-Plane 12, we get DCS, Aerofly FS4 came out, Microsoft came back, launched Microsoft Flight Simulator again. And right now, I honestly think, without sounding, you know, dramatic, I think we're in a golden age again of flight simulation.
Absolutely.
There's so
Absolutely.
Much stuff going on, so many things you can do. The hobby is so much alive. So I don't know if you feel the same, but that's my impression.
Absolutely. But I wanted to have a little bit an insider view on Microsoft Flight Simulator, because these flight simulators, I leave it in the plural because it's still 2020 and 2024, I guess, which are available. They are just too much for my computer here. But you fly them since years. What's your take on that? Also hardware-wise, what's there to consider?
Yeah, I was super lucky. I was selected as one of the alpha testers for Microsoft Flight Simulator, the first one, when they were still in very, very early stages. So
this was 2020, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, it was.
I think so.
It was a long time before it launched. And I remember getting the first version from Microsoft, and it was full of bugs. And, you know, most of the aircraft didn't work or weren't even there. You know, it was just a handful of aircraft. But even then, when I remember doing my very first flight, believe it or not, from Hohenems, because, you know, you want to see an area that you know, where you grew up in. So I flew along the Swiss border and then into Switzerland and Austria. And looked around, and I still remember that first flight in this new sim and thinking, wow, this is amazing. I mean, I could literally see my parents' house, I could see my school, everything was there. And this was out of the box and still an early alpha. So I was very taken with this sim. I had X-Plane at that time, which was my main sim, but I thought if they can fix those bugs and if they can get this run properly, this could be something very special. And I mean, it took a while. You and I both have followed this closely. Both launches, Microsoft Flight Simulator and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, I think it's fair to say, weren't perfect. They had a lot of problems, a lot of bugs. But to be fair to them, they fixed all of it. It took a while. Like right now, I think Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 is finally where it should have been on day one. It's running very smoothly. It's stable. There are almost no bugs left. The performance is great. But you are right. You still need a pretty good, hefty machine to run those simulators. And right now, unfortunately, because of everything that's going on with AI and tariffs and everything, unfortunately, PC parts and general, you know, hardware parts are just super expensive. Buying a PC right now, unfortunately, is just, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I would just wait and hope that things will calm down again. RAM sticks are now the same price as a graphics card, and, you know, it's all a bit crazy. So just wait, give it time. I mean, if you have the money, then by all means buy it. But right now, I would just wait, given the circumstances.
But it seems there is, in the moment, Flight Simulator 2024. It's not like X-Plane that you can buy a previous version. I don't know. But well, there on Steam, there is something. I don't know. Check it out on yourself. But I think, Stefan, what do you think? There is a version on Steam, but I don't know. What's your take in the moment? If you buy Microsoft Flight Simulator, I think 2024 is the go-to.
I think so, yes. It's now matured to a point where it is better than 2020, the previous version. For the whole,
better save money for a good PC, Wait for a good timing this year, and go for Microsoft 2024.
Yes.
And until then, have fun with the other sims we pointed out or something like this.
Exactly.
Could be a strategy.
I mean, DCS, for example, is free. You know, the base sim is free. You don't have to buy anything. So You can download that. It's not as bad as Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. It runs quite well. Of course, if you max out all the graphics, you need a bit of a better computer. But it runs even on older PCs quite well, because they give you a lot of options with the graphics that you can play with. And so, yeah, anyone can try DCS if they want to, and it's a beautiful sim. I mean, it doesn't have a 747. You have to fly an F-18 or F-16, stuff like that. And if you download it directly from the developer's website, you can actually download every add-on for free, and they allow you to try it. I think it is for a month or 3 months. So you can download really expensive add-ons like the F-18, which costs almost $100, and just fly it around for a month or so for free on a free sim. And that, to me, is amazing, because it really gives you a good idea. Do I want to spend this money or not? And after a month of flying, then you probably have a good idea whether this is something where you think, wow, I really, really want this permanently, or you think, nah, it's not for me. So for me, DCS is a really cool concept, the way to do it. I really like it. I wish other people would give us the opportunity to try out software before we buy it, because as you know, things are becoming more and more expensive. Aircraft are now north of 100 euros, you know, so it would be great to try them out first. But anyway, like you said, even if you have an older PC, download DCS, have a look at an older version of X-Plane or even FSX, and they will run on your PC and you can still have a lot of fun.
So DCS is normally later on the hardware, so to say, the Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, when I got you right in the what you said.
Yeah.
Is this correct?
Yeah, I think so. For me, I can have the settings in DCS much higher than in MSFS, and it runs really well. Even in VR, in virtual reality, DCS is running really, really well for me.
Yeah, it's also a little bit my strategy in the moment to wait strategically for a good time or a good timing to replace this old PC. And then, yeah, there is just a screenshot of Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 and also what I see weekly in your FS Clips video. Sooner or later, I have to get there. But in DCS, I have seen a video, a YouTube video. There seemed to be even, so to say, open source created, I think, at least one study level planes that can really, or a really complex plane that can be used for free. I saw some, but this is all speculation. I think we should end the podcast now from my side. But watch the videos, also videos, YouTube videos about flight sims before you buy it. Every flight simmer is often, or not every flight simmer, but every flight sim is often really, so to say, got into depth in some YouTube videos, and just Google for them and be patient. And it's better to watch a couple of hours of YouTube videos than wasting money.
Yeah, I agree. Those pieces of software are very, very complex. And therefore, if you want to optimize them and have them run smoothly on your PC, you're going to have to be willing to spend some time. And that includes, like you said, watching YouTube videos, learn how this software works, what settings are really affecting performance, you know, optimize the sim for your system. And also, when it comes to individual products, there are lots of channels out there that review all planes and sceneries and all kinds of things. And a lot of them are very honest and will give you an open, honest opinion. What is good? What is not so good? Take a look. I always do it. I don't just buy stuff unless I really 100% trust the source. Usually I look at reviews first and then decide whether or not I want to spend the money. So I think that's a very good piece of advice from you, Jürgen. Take the time, and it's better to spend time than spend money.
Yeah, and speaking of time, we are already over time. 8 minutes, but allow me one question back to the beginning of the podcast. We were speaking about the new MD-11. How many hours of study did you spend the last days or weeks? Because this is, I think, also for you, yeah, study level. Huh?
Yes, it has not much in common with my A320 that I know from the real world. It was a bit of learning by doing from me, then looking up YouTube videos. It's very hard to put. I would say I must have spent around 10, maybe 15 hours just to understand, you know, the systems, to make sure I have a bit of a grasp of how this aircraft works, the logic and everything, before I started actually flying it. But even then, you know, when you fly, there's still stuff the aircraft does, because you need to understand, when you have a type rating, when you type rate it on a real aircraft and you've flown it for such a long time, your whole brain is wired into its systems and how this is supposed to work. And so you approach an aircraft with that picture in mind. And if you then try to impose your Airbus procedures on an MD-11, it often doesn't work. So, but it's a lot of fun, and I love the challenge. I love the learning, the steep learning curve, and I think it's an amazing aircraft. I can recommend it to anyone. It's very, very challenging, way more challenging than a Boeing or an Airbus. I think we discussed this briefly. I know people that used to fly the MD-11 in the real world, and they all said the same. They called her the Diva, because the Diva is an amazing companion and great. But if you do anything that the Diva doesn't like, she will bite you very quickly. Very unforgiving, especially when hand flying. But that makes it all the more fun, in my opinion.
Sounds great. Yeah. And by this, we went already, to the end of another great podcast. And as always, my call out here, aviation@aviation-quest.cc is our email address. If you have guests that might fit into our long-form show, or maybe you yourself want to be interviewed or give a feedback on YouTube, please do so. And more about also my coachings can be found on our homepage, aviation-quest.cc. And there you can also read more about Stefan. There is a direct link to his YouTube channel and about me. And yeah, we are looking forward to hearing, or I hope you join the next show. And certainly in the next podcast, I can already say there will be a couple of really amazing flight sim adventures, so to say, we explored throughout the year, Stefan. A little bit a spoiler is okay.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So yeah, thank you very much, Jürgen. As always, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. And to all the listeners out there, thank you very much for sticking with us, for listening to our podcast. And I look forward to being with you again next time.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage, aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.